racing, it's life. Anything that happens before or after, it's just waiting.
Hello, everybody. I am Ashleen Selena, aka 1000 Stars on Twitch, and welcome to Timed Lap. Yes, we are here. We are back. Apologies for the delay. We all got stuck behind a house in Saudi Arabia. We've been trying to get past it since to get to the recording studio. Oh, doesn't life get in the way? But we are going to do another little podcast for you. We're going to do something a little different. We aren't doing a race by racing, because we've got two races to cut off. Catch up on what we are going to do is we are going to list each team in constructor's order and what we think. Now, there is a little problem. Ryan broke his microphone, so I've told Nick that she had to give her microphone to Ryan, so that there's no Nick this. We should get the hopefully maybe get Nick's mic repaired by the next race, but you're still part of the team, Nick, don't worry. Don't feel awkward that we sacrificed you instead. So even though Nick's been sacrificed, on the re-liveried microphone is Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Yeah. Although I did throw my microphone into a barrier, I'm the only one who scored points, so you know it's understandable. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, if you could not throw this mic into a wall, that would be great. Otherwise, we can't do any podcasting for a while. So, oh dear. So, yes. So, we've all got a bit of a cold. So, if we sound a bit wispy, I do apologise. But this is our first opportunity to meet up, and we're in Britain. So, the lurgy's just everywhere. So, every now and then it gets us. So, apologies for that. But, hey ho, you're here with us. You love us.
Let's go. I'm so glad that Alex Albon managed to get points for William last weekend.
Yes, we'll talk about that. Bit awkward either way. So we won't have to wait long to talk about them. That's the problem. So what we're going to do, as I say, we're going to talk about all the 10 teams. I'm going to start in, go from the bottom of the constructors list to the top. So, we have three teams with 0 points, and at the very, very bottom of that is Alpine Renault. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So, Saudi Arabia, poor, very poor. One car barely did a lap before its gearbox picked off, decided that it didn't want to be part of a slow car either. Has just been struggling to get out of Q1. I think that this is getting embarrassing for them. There's not much we can say. I think we said originally that if they can't be arsed, we can't be arsed. But my single line for this one for each team is just why? Question mark. What? It's slow. It's unreliable. They're a manufactured team. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, I think Gasly started 17th on the grid. Three DNFs, he finished 13th, so kind of expected, not really that much progress. A solid 2 seconds off the pace when it comes to fastest lap anyway. But, you know, he didn't do too bad when you consider Ocon. So, Ocon right at the back. Not really, not impressive, not what, it's kind of what we expected, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing, especially from testing, and they're apparently bringing a new front wing to Japan this weekend, and there's little tweaks, but I think a little new lighter front wing is not going to save them. They might be find a 10th, but as you said, they're over a second behind. So it's embarrassing for them. It's not good. I just think we've just got to see what they do. That I think they're going to need to do something like a complete new floor and all them kind of things, and it depends on the limitations of the chassis of how much they can upgrade it. So it's just embarrassing. It's just really embarrassing. And I, as much as we've said before, is that Renault are happy because they're getting the marketing share. If everybody's coming to you goes, yeah, but your car's crap, I don't want to buy any of your products. That's you know, I saw an Alpine car advert the other day, and I'm just like, oh, and they're showing the F1 car with it. I'm like, oh, God, stop. I know what's going on with you guys. This is painful. So, yeah, disappointing. not expected after testing, but for this team, just not good enough. So we'll now move on to Kick Sauber. And rather than a sentence, I've just got the word nuts. And this is awkward for Sauber because they spent the winter. One of the main things he did over the winter was to reinvigorate all the pit stop stuff. So your guns and everything and that, and new nuts. But these nuts, due to the metal they are made of, are apparently not reacting very well with the heat from the brakes and all these kind of things. And when it gets rather warm when these racing cars get going. And it turns out that this heat is making the metal slightly expand, which is causing cross-threaded nuts, which is causing long pit stops. And I don't know where they would have really fitted in with it all with the last race in Australia, but this almost feels like a bit of a rookie error, to be honest, Brian. I can't really judge their pace that much. They do seem to be probably maybe their car pace is around Baby Bull. But until they sort the pit stops out, what more can we say about them?
Yeah, I agree. They didn't really impress this week. Probably on the same kind of as Alpine. But we won't really know what their pace is looking like until they sort their life out.
Yeah. I mean, can I just say I am sick to death of hearing, oh, now Bottas has got the two slowest pit stops in F1 because he had that one in Monaco with a day and a half. It wasn't a pit stop. It was a retirement. Jesus, shut up. Getting bored of that one now. But yeah, you just can't, like, say it. They seem to have a bit of pace every now and then, but it's really hard in the whole mixture of it to say, oh, yeah, that's where they are. So yeah, sort your nuts out, guys, and we'll be able to judge you better. Now, Williams, I've got a few red flags with Williams. They have bought out a car that is, now, I don't want to say an evolution, it's a refresh on philosophy thinking. So rather than having a car that's incredibly quick at three circuits a year, they want to have a car that's it's got a good average across all the tracks, which is fine. So you're not... They finished 11th, if you ignore the top three DNS and Rs. They got stuck behind the good old Haas train in Saudi Arabia. But the fact they didn't have a second chassis, and they have managed to fix Albon's chassis, but they still won't have a spare chassis until possibly Miami. That's what's concerning me more, because surely they should have had that anyway. The car was late to testing. That feels like a few red flags to me. I don't know about you, Ryan.
Yeah, I think the cost cap is maybe something to blame, but or maybe they're just trying to save money because they're trying to put as much money on development as possible. Again, that could be related to the cost cap. To not have a spare chassis at a track where accidents can happen, like Melbourne's not the most dangerous, but it is still a street circuit. It is interesting and. The fact that they just gave... I don't care if Sargeant is dreadful. It's still his car. And he's going to say yes because he wants to stay in the team. So the whole giving Albon your chassis thing, it didn't sit right with me. And it's proven that it was absolutely useless anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's got it. I mean, what'll be interesting here is how much that knocks his morale, because that has got to be soul shattering. You could understand if it was it wouldn't happen to the top teams, I don't think. But, you know, it's three races from the end, the title battle's on, and Leclerc's junked his chassis. So, sorry, Carlos, we've got to give him his chassis because he's the one with the title fight. Yeah, okay, it's rough, but you can justify that one. Third race of the season, and it's like, yeah, don't get too comfy in the cockpit, Sergeant. Off you go. To me, I think this just shows they're already regretting re-signing him, to be honest, because if you had any confidence in him at all, you'd just go, yeah, go for it. You wouldn't do that. And I also want to add to the fact that they've said they haven't got their chassis. Both drivers crashed quite heavily at Suzuka last year. And I don't know how much stronger a repaired chassis is. I guess it's going to be a heavier chassis as well, because I can remember when Lotus had to abandon testing in about 2012, so around that bit, because their chassis weren't strong enough. They had to put a load more carbon fiber on it to make the chassis stronger, and that added a lot of weight. So I'm guessing to repair that chassis, it's going to be a heavier car anyway. So are they going to give the heavier damaged car to Sargent now? I don't know. I think he's a driver that I'll be amazed if he gets to the end of the year. But also, if you're a pay driver and they bench you through no fault of your own, are you getting some money back on that as well?
Yeah. You'd think so.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, let's have a look across the 20 million races we've got this year. Yep, you'll give me this much back. You wouldn't just sit there and go, yeah, okay. So, of course, Sargent hasn't got the pace, and I really wanted him to show something last year, and he isn't. And there's a lot of F2 drivers people are talking about now that are getting excited and blah, 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 blah. So the pressure's really on him this year. I'm getting the feeling that if somebody shows enough, he's not going to make the whole season. So we'll see. Now, we've done the three no-score teams, and what I will call a pleasant surprise, we now move to Haas Ferrari. So let's talk about the bit in Saudi Arabia first. I thought this was very, very clever, and I don't get why people are bitching about it so much, but the whole Magnussen driving at 12 miles an hour to keep everybody else behind him and letting Hülkenberg get the final point, I thought that was brilliant teamwork. He wasn't driving erratic. He wasn't driving dangerous. He just held his position. Everybody was going absolutely like, oh, God, when Sergio Perez did it to Hamilton and held him up, that was absolutely genius in Abu Dhabi 21. That was brilliant. Yet a team works together on this and suddenly, oh, that's not sporting. Seems rather hypocritical to me.
Yeah, and are we forgetting what Alonso did in Monaco a couple of years ago? Pretty much held back half the grid.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think it was by about 3 or 4 laps. There was a pit stop gap between him and the guy in front.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not nice, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, but I mean, and the whole point that exists is because Magnussen, I mean, remember we were chatting during the race, Magnussen for that got 2 10-second penalties, and I don't know what he was doing for a lot of the race, causing daft collisions. He bounced off Tsunoda, I think it was, and it's just like, you know, okay, you did that, and you did that very well, but you did make a complete mess of that race, K-Mag, really. And obviously, there's no Nick here to tell us off for having a go at Kevin, so we're fine, but... And I think the main thing is that Nico was then able to do the job and get the point. And then in Australia, they were they finished 9th and 10th. They were the drivers that took advantage of the very rare top cars having issues. And when you have a day like that, they're really big points. When you've got three teams behind you that are on zero and you were expected to be the 10th team, when you can, A, fix your what has clearly been fix your abysmal tire wear that it was really bad, and you've been unable to look like a team again, and you picked up the points from there, that shows that it's not probably, and it's not just because Steiner's gone now. For all the faults I've got with Steiner, just because he was replaced does not mean suddenly this team is amazing. This is a legacy of the changes they made at the end of last year that we thought didn't work, but they've worked through the winter. And they are now sort of showing that, okay, we can work through problems. And more importantly, we can fix problems. Because I think if they had continued to have the really bad tyre wear, then it would have been game over. But there's light at the end of the tunnel with this team that, okay, we can fix these issues.
I think Haas have surprised a few people. I think everyone kind of just expected them to be down and out, especially with the team changes earlier in the year. But Williams, Sauber, Alpine have all struggled, and Haas have gone, well, you know what? We'll try and make some out of this. So yeah, Haas have probably impressed me probably the most out of the whole grid.
What I will call the back five teams, they've been the big pleasant surprise, because obviously we've got the top five teams that take the top 10. But the ones that are trying to snipe and get the points, they're the ones that have impressed me the most. And I'm pleased about that, because I'm sick of being fed up with Haas. We had a brief little period at the start of 2022 and then they just fell back again. So it's nice to go, oh, hooray, thank you, Haas. Thank you for looking like a racing team. Now, moving up next is Baby Bull with 6 points. And the 6 points have been basically scored by Yuki Tsunoda. But I don't think anybody gives a crap about the car, and it's all driver talk. And the gossip sites have started to say that Ricciardo has this race coming up this weekend at Suzuka in China to prove himself. I don't think he's got that short a time. But we'll start on Ricciardo. I think he's going to have a DeVries-esque season. I think I can see 9-10 races and Lawson's in that car, because all I'm getting off of him is McLaren vibes. What about you?
Yeah, I think he's probably taken longer than he wanted to get back into things since his injury. But I think it's unfair to say, oh, you can say he's the only one who scored points. Yeah, that was last weekend. And we had 3 DNFs. So I think it was a bit of a funky race. Ricciardo was 12th. He is closer to the points. I think he just needs to get a few points in the bag, and then it'll be fine. But I don't think they're going to be rushing to replace him halfway through a season for, let's face it, the junior team.
I do, because I think they want to get Perez sorted as well. And it all hinges on the fact that, and we'll get to Red Bull in a minute, obviously, but I think for what they were expecting from Daniel, he's not a rookie. He was expected to lead this team. His expectations are higher. And I know you said that, I take on board what you say, but my argument to that is, well, he should, 3 people retired and Yuki got points, but like Haas, he was there to take advantage of the loss of points. And Ricciardo has not looked like that, and that's not what they expected. And we all know that the Red Bull school of driver opportunities is not a patient one at all. I think they'd have swapped drivers a lot more if they hadn't have run out of drivers to swap in previous seasons. So I'm not optimistic for him at all. He's got to show something. He's got to show something at Suzuka in China, and just, he's got to destroy Yuki these next 2 weekends at least.
Yeah.
To quiet that, he's got to first quieten the chat, and then he's got to build. And that's not what he was meant to be doing. He was meant to be having everybody just going, oh, at this point, he's going to have wanted people to go, oh, will you just hurry up and replace Perez? Come on, we see he's got it, do it. And we're nowhere near that. Car itself, yeah, I think it's around the Haas. It's in that bottom five bit where it can snipe at points. It needs problems to happen. Yuki did a good job, but after what we saw in Bahrain, he's still very Jekyll and Hyde. I'm still annoyed at him the way he had that temper tantrum at Bahrain. So whilst he's done some good points, I think you can tell from the reaction of the top brass that they're kind of like, he got some points. Yeah, that's nice. And even Christian Horner went, basically was talking about Yuki Tsunoda in one interview, and he's going, yeah, he got some points. And but Carlos Sainz is free next year. You know, he literally went and mentioned another driver basically and jumped off talking about Yuki. And it's like, yeah, that's not a good sign that you are going to get promoted or keep your seat. So, okay, let's go on to the next scoring team, which after Bahrain I was worried about, but they seem to have little peaks, which is Aston Martin. The only trouble is that I feel like it's more of the same. Williams, I put show something soon in my one sentence thingies. Haas, I put improvement. Baby Bull, I put car meh, drivers eh. And for Aston, I've put same as it ever was. As in, yes, okay, post-penalty Stroll scored points. Well done. He had beat Alonso. Well done. That's first time of the season. But he was also the first driver to smash it into the wall in Saudi Arabia. And for somebody with his years of experience, he shouldn't be doing that. So to me, it's the same as it ever was. Alonso's leading the team. Stroll's making them stupid mistakes that cost big time. And when you want to look at the points that they're only 1 point behind Mercedes right now, so when Stroll is sticking it in the wall, very early in the race as well, sticking it in the wall and throwing points away, Aston are going to struggle in the constructors again because their second driver is making stupid mistakes. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Stroll first and what we think. But yeah, I just feel like, okay, the car's semi-decent. But again, if you've got a semi-decent car, you need two drivers constantly scoring points, and they haven't got that right now.
No, they haven't. I mean, but to be fair, yeah, I think he had a good race last weekend. I think he did okay. Melbourne, Alonso is typically doing better.
Yeah, he's just not dependable. He can have a good race this time out. He had a brilliant race at Bahrain last year with two broken wrists, but then we saw what the rest of the season becomes. So there's too many peaks, and there's not enough consistency. And if he starts getting lost again with the car throughout the season, it's just hemorrhaging points.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he needs a bit of consistency. If he can keep this up after Melbourne, then great. They have a serious chance at a P3, P4 finish this year if they get their stuff together.
Yeah. We're going to talk about now the most controversial bit thing. It was the George Russell George Russell Alonso moment. So the cold hard facts are that on the last lap, George Russell was all over the back of Alonso. Now Alonso braked 100 meters earlier than he normally does, and he went defensive. Now I have found it very interesting. It's been a complete polarizing opposite end of the scale opinions on this. And I think what damns Alonso for me is the fact that he braked 100 meters earlier and then accelerated again into the corner, and that's what caught him. Got him the penalty, should I say. But I also think that if Russell hadn't have crashed, you'd have heard Russell complain about it post-race and everybody gone, oh, that's cheeky, but that's Alonso. That's how he works. You know, oh, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. I think personally, and even though they said in the statement, oh, the outcome of a crash wasn't right, I don't believe that, but then I don't trust the stewards anymore. But I think if that car hadn't have crashed, Alonso would have got away with that. And everybody's saying, oh, it's going to throw defensive driving into the bin now. It's going to be all just... It's like, no. Alonso braked early, re-accelerated into the corner. You can't do that. That's erratic. That's your PlayStation, Xbox driving. You can't do that. I do that in the game because I'm crap and I brake too early and I go, oh, I could have accelerated there. I think the problem is that you can be defensive, you can be wide into the corner, and you can come out the corner slowly and do things like that. But you can't stop, accelerate, and go again. And people are going, oh, it's because he was harvesting. No, he wasn't. No, that's not an excuse. If we're going to have drivers stopping, accelerating, going into a corner, you can't race. There isn't etiquette to racing. And if you're going to be on, off, you're just going to have crashes left, right, and centre. So for me, I think he was only penalised because Russell crashed, despite what they say. And at the same time, I think Alonso was over the line. And I don't think it's going to set a precedent of bad things. I think it's only if you see people being on and off the throttle. What about you? Did you think it was worth a penalty?
I don't know. It's honestly my honest answer. I just don't know. It was... they obviously gone through the telemetry and the stewards think that it was the right decision. But it could have gone either way. I think because he has crashed, I get why they've done it. But yeah... That whole situation baffled me, in all honesty. I just don't understand why it happened.
Yeah, and the thing, I think for me, because he braked earlier than ever and then accelerated again, it's not the same as the previous defending instance. It's not the same as what we were on about with K-Mag or Perez doing what he did, or even when Alonso was defending in Monaco. He just... braked later and come out the corner slower and did things like that and just was on the racing line in the way. So playing about with the throttle like that, and people can say he was harvesting whatever, but you need the driver to be consistent. So I think unless we start seeing something where that doesn't happen and they penalise, I think it kind of was fair maybe, but I just don't believe them when they say we didn't penalise this because of the outcome of the accident. I don't believe that. Yeah. Well, I think with you, I'm not as confident with it because it depends what the stewards do moving forward. That's the thing. Hopefully there isn't any more cases of this. For me, from what Stuart said in that bit, yes, it makes sense, but there is a concern to me that they go overboard and they try and compensate too much, so we'll just have to see from there. But either way, it's without that, the Aston Martin would have been ahead of the next team, which is Mercedes with 26 points. And the line I've put for this, Ryan, is that Ryan was right. Because when we were talking about the big Hamilton to Ferrari news, you said this car must suck then for him and want to go. He's seen something in this car.
Yep.
And I'll let you take this because so far, you're right. This has been massively disappointing.
Yeah. You know, obviously there's an element that Lewis Hamilton's always wanted to drive Ferrari, but I think because of the history that he had, I think he very much wanted to finish his career at Mercedes. But, you know, he clearly thinks he's still got 2-3 years back still in him. I mean, Fernando Alonso is closer to getting his bus pass, his free bus pass for retirement, but he's still driving cars. So he obviously thinks, you know, well, if they... I reckon he's had something from Ferrari. I reckon Ferrari have gone, look, you know, this is what we've got. Do you want a piece of it? And he's gone, yeah, all right. And then look at the constructors. This is a very, very strong chance that Ferrari could get the constructors, you know, only a few races in and they're only 5 points off.
Yeah.
4 points off. I can't count. It's too early. You know, you can hear the cogs turning. So McLaren might get P3 this year.
I think, without jumping ahead of ourselves, I think so. And I think watching Mercedes, especially at Australia, and they're on the track and qualifying, and it was a fabulous qualifying session. It had been close all through the practices, but not during that qualifying session, not at one point, at any point did I think, oh, Mercedes could be a threat here. They just felt like, okay, they're just going around. They might get eighth or ninth, maybe. And of course, Lewis got knocked out in Q2. And I feel like moving forward with that season, this carries on. This isn't going to be a good final season with Merck where we just attack and we just go for it for old time's sake and we're all getting on, we'll just go for it. If this keeps happening, I can just see both sides just being like, I really can't be bothered. Let's just get through this season. You know, which is a horror, considering the success and the just ultimate domination that they've had and all these things. For you to end on that note is incredibly sour. It's incredibly sad that it's just that thing of, I mean, Lewis was saying, oh yeah, I'm getting used to getting knocked out in Q2 now. And he doesn't want to, because there's a lot of people saying, oh, come on. Hamilton's obviously past it. He's not past it. I just think he's at a point where if the car isn't quite right now, he isn't going to be able to give everything. And I think he's trying to set, apparently he's trying the setups again to try and get it working like he was with the start of the 22 car. But I'd also consider that's an alarm for Mercedes if he's the one trying the setups, because it's going to be Russell leading your team. So why is it Russell trying all these different setups? You know, they're a bit lost to me.
But I also feel like the person who's trying the setups is the person that's potentially sacrificing grid positions, because the car might not be performing the best. So, and to be fair, the first time round, the first season with Russell, Lewis did that as well. Lewis was testing the concepts, which is why he wasn't doing as well, because he had the most inconsistent setup. So, but yeah, concerning for Mercedes, and now they've got to find a new driver whilst also trying to, you know, and they can't sell their car to a good driver, really, because why would you want to go over there?
Yeah. And it's just shocking, because I go back to what we said about in the season preview about being one of the main alarm bells being Brazil, that they did not know why that car would not work. And I said, if they didn't know why the car wouldn't work, how have they been able to translate this onto the new car and understand that? And it seems to have the same problems. Now, if they can do what Ferrari did at the end of last year and get an understanding of the car and thing. But the trouble is, to get an understanding of the car still in this far into regulations, you don't want to have an understanding of the car. You want to understand the car and build on that, which is what Ferrari are doing. Merck is still chasing their tail, as they have been for 3 seasons, it feels like. And maybe they'll shove an upgrade on it. Maybe they'll shove a floor on it that changes everything. And in a couple of races' time, we're like, right, they're back, let's go. But right now, it does feel very much just a continuation of last year. And this track coming up, the fast sweeping corners, which really hurt them last year. Oh boy, and this time you've got a very strong Ferrari, you've got a strong McLaren that were good at Suzuka last year, you've got an Aston Martin that seems to get its act together and could snipe at them. They could be looking at fifth in the constructors anyway here.
Yeah,
so
it's all or nothing, I think, you know. But they also could surprise us. It would be the most Mercedes thing ever just to turn up and get like P1, P2, but, you know.
And part of me thinks that Mercedes also pushed on the penalty in Australia and were thinking because they know Aston is their rival this year. Which, if you know, if that is true, and that's a massive come down for them, considering they were saying, "Yeah, we're back in the title fight this year. We want to be attacking. We're really gonna close Red Bull." And now it's like, "Oh, we've got a battle for fourth or fifth." Oops. So yes, I mean, I can't say much about Russell. He's been okay. He's been getting the points, but it's more the car than the drivers at the minute to me. So. He's doing his bit. He's taking on. He's got to be like I do. Wish he would do more of the experiments on setup and things more to prove he can lead the team. But I just can't say much more because it's more talking about the car, isn't it? So we'll move on to McLaren now. And I've put for McLaren almost there. I feel that considering where they ended last season, and we thought maybe the jump they would make. I don't know whether to be excited, disappointed, or meh. This weekend at Suzuka is going to be huge for them because this is where they were good last year. And in theory, the way they've ebbed and flowed between their weak and strong tracks, you should think that maybe they should be really up there attacking Red Bull. And maybe if Ferrari make the continue the jump they've made, they should be attacking. But it's exciting that McLaren, I think, but there's a bit of a worry because coming out this week was David Sanchez has left the team. Now, you might be like, who's David Sanchez? Well, I'm not surprised you might be saying who David Sanchez is because this time last year, he was announced to be going to McLaren after leaving Ferrari. He had to do a bit of gardening leave, joined the team start of this year, and has now left the team after 3 months. They cited that the goals and everything they all had, expectations and blah, 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 did not align. And this feels very Ron speak, actually, considering Ron Dennis is long gone. Upon our joint reflection, it became apparent that the role, responsibilities, ambitions associated with David's position did not align with our original expectations when he agreed to join us in February 2023. Well, that's awkward. So your structure is getting rejigged. And when you've got a plan in place and then you have to start going to somebody, well, you know that job you were doing? Yeah, you're going to do that, but you're also going to do this. And we've got to move this here and move that there. That's a bit of a concern where you can upset the apple cart and move a few things about, and that might knock them going forward. So we'll see how that affects them. But what do you reckon to McLaren so far? How have they done for you?
I think they're doing okay. I think, it's still, they're on a positive trajectory from last season. I think they're doing all right. I think Piastri has really settled in well. I think Lando is, you know, consistently the best of the rest. One day he might win a race, but not just yet. And like last weekend, they capitalized on Red Bull and Mercedes's failures and got P3, P4. And that's what you need from drivers if you want to go for P3 in the constructors.
Yeah, and you've got to keep, at it. It's just... Yeah, it's getting tight at the top, just behind Red Bull. I don't know how to look at that and say, are they going to make... It's this point now where they did the hard work last year where they had a lot of time to make up, which when you've got a lot of time to make up, it's easier to find a few tenths when you're so far off the pace. But now we're getting to that point where it's a tenth here and a tenth there, and McLaren have not been able, under any guise over the last... since really... Hamilton left, they've not been able to do that last extra bit, that last extra tenth. And that's where now I'm like, can they not? They've got their new toys, yes, but it's okay having new toys, but knowing how to use them toys. So it's just that thing of where are we now? Are we going to see them update through the year and close that gap? Or are Red Bull going to pull away from them? And if Red Bull do pull away from them, if Ferrari pull away from them, then it's major concern again, because that means, well, you've not had a we are a recovering team getting back there. You've just had a green patch. And they're two very different things. It's like every year we used to get hope that Williams were back, and they weren't, you know, especially through the 2014-15 era. So I hope it's not that. I hope this is genuine progress and they can keep closing in. But yeah, we've just got to be patient. And when it comes to this game, sometimes I'm not the most patient person. I want answers and I want them now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So okay. Well, from there, I've put Ferrari, and the line I've put for Ferrari is, what a start.
I thought it was just going to be, yay.
Yay. Well, if you want to look at it, I mean, it looks like they are clearly at least the second quickest car. But what a ride they've had. The car's been quick, they've made progress, they've got some good strategy calls done, but then they have a driver whose appendix decides he doesn't want to play ball anymore. They shove Ollie Bearman, who impresses. Considering he had only done a free practice three in qualifying to get points was brilliant. I know the car's a lot better than last year's in different bits, but he still had to do it. And like I say, when you've got people with lots of experience like Stroll sticking it in the wall earlier on, it wouldn't have been too hard to say, you know, he's a rookie, it's okay, but he didn't and he scored. And then you have this amazing comeback story of we're just sitting here going, well, it is he going to race? Is Sainz going to race? And then Sainz comes in, minus appendix, few grams lighter, boom. And I think, in a way, it's a shame that Max retired in Australia, because the pace that the Ferraris had, and Carlos especially, I think they'd have put Max under pressure. They'd have really put Max under pressure, and I'd have loved to have seen how that had gone. The way the tyres worked, it was a graining race. So it wasn't tyre wear. It was the fact the tyres were graining and not getting the best. And that's where Ferrari have been strong before. So in all brutal honesty, I expect Red Bull just to jump back to it at Suzuka. But what I will say is, thanks to Ferrari especially, we've already got rid of the can Red Bull make a clean sweep, blah, 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 can Max win every race. I'm glad we don't have to listen to that for another season.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ferrari doing really well. I think they've taken it very, very seriously, though, since they had the penalty, and they've lagged behind. They've taken the project very seriously. I think they are where they are on pure merit. They've deserved it. They've worked for it. I think they're doing well.
Yeah, it's it's just good to see, because we've had so many false dawns with them. And maybe, again, like, go back to what I said about McLaren. Is this a green patch, or is it genuine? But it gives us a bit of hope that they've said, look, we understand and we're building. And like I say, unlike Mercedes that are chasing their tail trying to stabilise the car, it seems they've got the car stabilised and they can now build on that. And if they can build on that and the upgrades work, if F1 is if backwards, maybe not this season, but maybe for the final year of the regulations, a bit like we had 2021, final year of them regulations, we could see them actually on it, you know? And I can only hope that. But they've been impressed me so far that they've been thinking. The only thing I've got a bit concerned about is Leclerc. Now, we aren't being these people that are writing off Leclerc and things like that, because I think he's going to have a good weekend this weekend. But it's also context, because I think Leclerc messing up his qualifying, really, and only being fifth, meant that he had to get a bit more, he had to fight a bit more to get through the field. He had a bit more tyre wear. And when you see how far he was at the end of Sainz, that's, he could have been up there and fighting with Sainz and that. But he's got to make sure, now he's got a car where he can do something, he cuts out any of them little mistakes. He's got to now be on. He's got to prove to people what I believe, that he is a top driver, and he's got to stop messing up quality. He's got to get into the zone, and he's now got to keep hitting the marks over and over and over again. Because he's going to have to do that, I think, when Lewis gets there next year. So that's what I want to see moving forward from them, is that Leclerc now cuts out the little mistakes, because I think he made the mistakes before because he was overdriving the car because they weren't good cars. Now, he doesn't need to do that as much, so we need to see a bit more from him that he is that leading driver.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I find it hilarious that Science keeps winning races and he doesn't have a seat.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer, it's like, and it's a bit of Leclerc look, because without the mad safety car after the Russell Verstappen clash in Las Vegas, that was Charles Leclerc's win. The pit stop screwed him over, and there's been a couple of times where it's Charles's win, but something goes wrong, and people forget that and just think, oh, we've set pole again, and he's blown it again. No, it's not that. It's also a case of he's been incredibly unlucky that safety cars of different bits have come out and screwed him over. So it should have been Charles Leclerc winning at Las Vegas, but safety cars landed where they did and messed his race up.
Yeah.
So it's just one of the things. I think he needs to get that win. Once he also gets that win, a bit like I've said about Norris in the past, it'll be exciting. It'll just launch him. I think he just needs that a bit, because I think sometimes drivers, as confident they are, have that bit in their brain where they're like, I don't know. But yeah, all we can say now is we haven't got enough evidence to go on. It's three races, but good start, good win. Already upset Red Bull. And let's move to Red Bull, because the line I've put here is who hates who more, because in all my time, and I forget, I'm a Ferrari fan, people, my team does politics, okay, but I've never seen it where a team is dominating and leading so much, but a team is falling apart internally, because there's still plenty of stuff going on. And I think a key change which may happen is Lee Stevenson, which has been with the team for 18 years and Max Verstappen's chief engineer, has just quit. You know, he's been with the team 18 years, which means he was with it back when it was Jaguar and things like that, and he's just quit and gone. So that's a chief engineer gone. You've got sniping, you've got all these things going on behind, and usually teams start doing this when they're on the decline, when they're having a couple of seasons like, say, Mercedes are having after domination. Not while they're at the top. And I think it just shows that Dietrich Mateschitz had such control over these things to keep it peaceful, because he hasn't even passed for a year, been past a year. And this team are just like, wow. And I don't think it'll affect them in the short run, because I think they've got such momentum, they will keep going. But when it comes to things like new regulations in 2 years' time and things like that, that's where you see the trip of when there's a reset. We'll talk about Perez in a minute, but what is going to come out next? Because it seems there's a revelation or a quitting or an argument every week or so. What do you think about the whole Red Bull situation?
Comical. fun to watch. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down. I don't know if they're desperately trying to sweep everything under the rug. And I almost forgot about it until you reminded me. So they're kind of doing a good job.
We have had a few weeks, though, in between races. So.
We'll just have to wait and see, I think. I think the team will be fine. They, you know, they'll be absolutely fine. They've got too many people in there for it to fall apart. There'll always be someone.
At the end, if Max goes because of this, and there's talk of that, I mean, it's a long contract, and, you know, Toto's being rather cheeky, going, oh, yeah, we'd love Max, because they had Max Verstappen originally, and then it didn't happen, and all these kind of things. And, you know, there's very clearly factions within the team. There's those that support Horner, there's those that support Helmut Marko, there's those that support this bit, that bit. You know, I personally think that there's red flags about the Ford deal. I think they are concerned. This is my theory. I think when it comes to the Max Verstappen camp, and especially what Jos has said and things like that, there's a break clause in that contract somewhere, and they're trying to activate it. I think there's a concern with the Ford engines, because I don't really get the excitement of Ford coming back into F1, because if we did a potted history of Ford, everybody mentions the Cosworth DFV that was an amazing engine, but Ford chucked some money into that. They didn't develop it. Cosworth made it. And Ford's recent history in Formula 1 is bleak. Ford's recent history is Jaguar F1. So Ford's recent history is the engine that was in the back of the Jordan in their declining days. The only championship they won was the Drivers' Championship with Michael Schumacher in 1994, and nobody remembers that. You know, Ford's history as an actual Ford motor company has been rather poor, really. So I think there might be red flags of going, shit, we're losing Honda and we're getting this. Max is going to be suddenly back down the field. We need to get him out. And I think that's where, I think that's personally for my reckoning, the reason why there's so much arguments with Red Bull there. And that's why they want to get him out of there, because they aren't confident for the future. Because yes, Ford again are not, you're not getting a, here's a Ford, from my understanding, a whole Ford manufacturer base doing it. This is Red Bull doing it with some Ford money. And yes, they have the experience with Honda and blah, 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 blah. But it's going to be a different ballgame in 2026 where they've got to build this thing and keep it going. So I think that's why with the Max Verstappen camp, there's a kind of, we need to cause this break contract and get him into a Mercedes or get him into McLaren or wherever. Well, not McLaren, but just get him out of this team. Because, well, it's all sunny now. There's rain clouds ahead, and I think that's why. And then I think the rest of it is just a classic, right, main boss is gone, the guy who run everything. It's a power grab time. Because I've even heard rumours that one of the things Christian Horn is doing is he's trying to get a constituency together to buy Red Bull out and make it his team and blah, blah, blah. Whether there's any truth to these, I don't know. But this is the point of now it's so unstable, all these rumours can fly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Max is going to go. I don't, like, I think even if the team's an absolute cesspool of crap, I think he's still going to stick around because it is the best car. And Max has always and only cared about the racing.
Yeah.
So I think he'll stick around unless he absolutely has to leave, if it becomes unbearable, which I don't think it will.
Yeah, and I agree. I think one thing we're talking about, which you wouldn't be, like, at the start of the year, did you really think that we'd be talking at all about the possible chance of Max even leaving? And that's what these things can happen, that there was no chance at all and we're just talking, it just wasn't even on the radar, to now going, well, maybe if this and this happens, and maybe not. I think I agree with you that it is a long shot. But Formula One, did we think we'd be, you know, Hamilton dropping his bombshell out of nowhere? So you never know. And maybe that's what Formula One needs, a bit of spicy action like that, when maybe the on-track product isn't as good. But what I just want to finish up on is, we'll talk about the driver. So Max recorded his first DNF in 2 years, because it seems to have been a bit of finger trouble on the brake, which is why it clamped on. And boy, them things go big, bada boom. I'm surprised that they didn't pull at least a full course yellow to pull that bit of debris off on the outside of the last corner. Well, not the last corner, the entrance to the final chicane where a bit come off. But I feel a bit vindicated with this one, as everybody was going, oh, Perez is safe. He's been second twice now. He's vindicated and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yes, he's done this before. When the car is very, very good, he can get it to second. When there's a fight, and I think there will be a few more fights this year, he showed at Oz that he could only do fifth. And that's not what the team need. They need a teammate where if there is a fight and Max has a problem, he can battle up there as well. And this is where they're going to want to look elsewhere with Perez, because he showed that he just wasn't able to attack anyone that he should have been able to attack. And if any of the back five teams have a breakthrough and they start to get onto the back of Aston Martin and Mercedes, it doesn't take much for him suddenly to be qualifying 13th, 14th again in the middle of the season. And then suddenly if Max has problems, or the fact now that you've got a very second place Ferrari that have got two cars that can take points off. So if it doesn't take much where, Max is winning, wonderful. If Ferrari keep getting second and third, with the way the points go, you get more constructors points getting second and third than you do for the win. So they could lose the constructors here if this trend continues.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm hoping it was just a one-off, because, you know, Perez is normally, this so far this season, has been somewhat consistent, but...
He was last year, though, and those are the tracks he likes. Of course, though, we are coming into Suzuka this weekend, which, if everybody remembers, probably was one of his worst performances, to the point there was the joke where they just sat him in the car and made him wait so he could have that, do that penalty, so he didn't get for the next race. Yeah. So if he does struggle here, if he's not right on Max's butt... But if he does struggle here, this weekend could be a huge tell, I think, for the rest of the season. It really could. So I'm excited for it. So, because I also want to see now what goes on, because you didn't talk about much of the McLaren drivers as well. I'm excited for that because it's very clear that Oscar is keeping the pressure on Norris. He made a little mistake and Austin dropped a few seconds off, but Norris is getting the pressure off that. And like I say, McLaren was strong here at Suzuka last year. So coming into this weekend, there is so much intrigue and I'm really looking forward to it. So sorry to our listeners for the little gap that we had. We are going to, we're working out a plan so we can avoid that. But in all honesty, Nick's busy with her course. Ryan is doing some bloody long hours. So it's quite tricky to meet up with times, but we're trying to do that. So we will be back with a Suzuka review quicker than we did this these ones. We're also going to do a bit of a silly season chat at one point in different bits because there's so much to talk about. But let's do a cheeky, between me and you, let's do a cheeky little prediction. I'm going to say the podium is going to be Max, Charles, Lando. What about you?
I think, and I do have one more thing to say before we finish.
Yeah, sure, chuck it in.
I think it's going to be Perez. Because knowing Perez, he's going to prove us all wrong now. Stubborn thing.
Just to, yeah, he isn't doing it for himself. He's doing it because he's heard us talking to just spite us. Yeah. Okay.
Max.
I
think Max is going to have some sort of like issue to be behind Perez to begin with. Don't get me wrong.
They panic about the brake temps or something. Yeah. And it's like, okay, back off.
And I'm going to go for Carlos. Carlos Sainz.
Oh, you're
just going to want to get your hopes up a little bit, you know?
I just think you're trying to stay on Nick's good side. It's a shame Nick isn't on this one. Once Nick is back, we are going to let her have her Carlos appreciation moment because it'd be unfair. It wouldn't be fair to rob her of that because I was. Do you know what? I was happy for Ferrari as a Ferrari fan, but I was actually really happy for Nick as well.
Yeah.
So what did I? I'm going to put these down and we can talk about it next race. So I said Nick, Matt. Max, Leclerc, and Norris. That was my three. Okay, but I like that. So just before we wrap up, what was your last point you wanted to put in?
I was watching TikTok last night as I was trying to sleep, as always, and I came across an interview with Chris Miles on Radio X with Sebastian Vettel. Yeah. And Vettel said, well, they asked the question, they said, would you consider a return to Formula One if the car was right? And Vettel made a joke about how he's still fairly young, considering Alonso's still knocking about and Lewis Hamilton's still, you know, they're signing long contracts. But Vettel said that if the car and if the package was competitive, he would consider a return to Formula One. Now, there's a couple seats up for grabs at the moment.
You throwing a complete left field thingy in here.
Could we see Sebastian Vettel come to Mercedes? At least for a couple years?
They wanted that. They did want that. And maybe it might be a left field thing, but I don't see it because I think by the end Vettel's stock in F1 was so low, I think it had fell away. He has been testing with... he's been testing with Porsche for their Le Mans project. He took part in a 36-hour test, which isn't something that you do if you're doing for a bit of fun. So there's a lot more talk, and the test was quite inconclusive in all honesty with it. But I think he's looking a lot more at the Le Mans thing, because it's all right to say, yes, if I had the perfect car, and like I would. But I think all drivers say that. So maybe, but I do like your thinking. I mean, let's be honest, you can't say no to anything. You can't say no, but I personally would be extremely surprised. Yeah, but at the same time, if Merck are thinking, well, we haven't got a winning car anyway. But just like Hamilton going to Ferrari, we could get some very good media traction, and we could certainly get some very good media traction in Mercedes' home country. You never know. You never know.
And yeah, it's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah, and he could help, he could help work, develop the car, I think. So whilst I think it's highly unlikely, it wouldn't be the most insane thing I've heard. So I like that. So I tell you what we'll do is we'll have a little Verstappen, a little Verstappen. Have you noticed, Tilly, and I can't get names right, a little what is Vettel up to this week kind of look, and we'll just keep an eye on him just to see where it goes, and we'll have a little, if there's any paddock rumours. But I'd be very surprised, but it's so intriguing. In an alternative reality, this is happening. Yeah. We're just not in that reality, so we'll see. But well, what do you think, viewers? Well, by the time this is up, I haven't done the social medias like I said last time. Sorry, it's just been, I don't want to bore you about my home life, but it's just been chaos for us all, so I haven't had a chance to. But you will have the social medias up soon that I'll post links to, and we can go from there. But we are going to wrap it up here. Thank you for your patience. We're looking forward to Suzuka. Like I say, we'll try and get a Suzuka. We will get a Suzuka review up ASAP once it's done. It's more early hours for us Brits. Oh. So a couple of plugs. So I am streaming at Twitch. twitch.tv/1000_stars. I have just had my birthday stream yesterday. I was in Wonder Woman cosplay, so that was fun. And Ryan, you stream as well from time to time. What's yours?
Every now and again, I stream just as much as Williams get points. All my socials are I Myrick.
Awesome. So okay, so check us out on that, and we will be back soon. So we're going to fix Nick's mic, her actual mic. We don't know which one we're giving it back, obviously. And until then, we will see you again soon. Thank you so much for checking out Timed Lap. Have a good one. Bye.